D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, it is trifecta time, ladies and gentlemen. And that is a portion of our little radio show where we stop down to remember those who have recently passed away by taking a moment to consider how much they mattered and whether they do have the credentials to gain a room in the 3-bedroom apartment in the sky. Deej, room 601?
Yeah, we've had a couple weeks off, so 601 currently occupied by just Dick Cheney.
Oh, wow. Well,
oh, this might be perfect.
I mean, seriously, it may be perfect as we try to induct the local sports, I would say, behemoth in this area.
Rodney?
Tom Hicks, not Rodney. As the former owner of the Dallas Stars and the Texas Rangers and Liverpool. If you're a local Liverpool guy, Bob.
I am, thank you.
As he owned all three and at the same time. And
Tom, if I'm not mistaken, a member at Augusta National.
Oh, my God. All right. Donovan Lewis, our 7th Supreme Court Justice, joins us now. Donnie?
Hardline.
Well.
Right?
Yeah. He was at Augusta because he was famous for taking, like, Madonna and those guys.
A-Rod, right?
Yeah.
Did he vote for Condi to get in?
It's a great question.
I would guess no. So Tom Hicks made his monies a variety of ways, but he specialized in getting using large is not the right word, monster sums of borrowed money to acquire companies.
Leverage takeovers.
Yes, and then he would then turn those companies around enough to where he could sell them off or whatever, and it was just an endless cycle of borrowing money, making money, borrowing more money, making more money. It's a really weird way to go about things, I think, if you're one of these super rich guys, but he did it, and it worked.
Well,
and
that's the thing, is that we think about super rich guys being super rich because they're using their money to get richer, but super rich people don't use their own money. They use other people's money.
Well, some do. Some don't. There are people, I think this is a pretty rare occurrence especially in the sports owning business, where you went about your business this way. I mean, it eventually killed him.
Yeah.
Not dead. Whoa. But it knocked him out of ownership because he defaulted on hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of payments. So he and his partner, business partner, they made enough money in the soft drink game and Sprite and Dr. Pepper and all of that to acquire enough money in the mid-90s to buy the Stars. Now, remember, Norm Green owned the Stars at the time, and they were in a financial pickle.
Yeah, he moved the North Stars to Dallas to try and save the franchise and save himself, and he was still in financial trouble when they got here.
Do we know what Hicks paid for the Stars?
We do, $84 million.
Wow.
I know.
So basically, Sagan's contract?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Amazing.
I know. And so he ends up buying, it was somewhere between $82 and $84 million. And one of the first things that, was it Jim Leitz? Leitz basically said, look, when he bought the team, if you can help get us a couple of players, then we can turn this thing around pretty quickly. Because at the time when he bought it, in 95 or 4 or whatever it was, the Stars weren't drawn very well early on in those first couple of years. They weren't just like the talk of the town. And they talked him in, though, to right when he bought the team, to getting Joe Nieuwendyk in there. And it kind of turned everything around. And as Jim Leitz says now, he goes, look, if Hicks doesn't get the team right then and we don't get Nieuwendyk, then things don't go the way that it did. They did.
And Bob may have never tried sushi.
Yes, that's a great point.
Because Nieuwendyk was the guy that offered you sushi?
Yes. The first time I had sushi was at the invitation of Joe Nieuwendyk.
That was your heated rivalry moment with Joe.
Then I think I probably in turn invited Donovan to have sushi for the first time.
You want to use my chopsticks?
Oh, God.
Did I turn you on to sushi, Donnie, or no? I feel like we were all in the same sushi era.
I feel like I may have tried it first with you,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that all happens, and they keep spending. You know, obviously, Hicks was willing to spend whatever monies he had, whether it was his or somebody else's, to acquire the likes of Brett Hull and things like that. And so the money was being spent.
With no salary cap, that was their way to kind of take the spotlight from the Cowboys as they were headed downhill and kind of turn this into a hockey city for like those couple summers in a row, man, a couple springs. It was unbelievable here.
100%, man. And at what point did he buy the Rangers?
Let's see the exact year. I thought 98. Yes.
Yeah, 98. So he buys the Rangers, you know, right before they win the Stanley Cup. And so here this guy in this town, he owns two of the four franchises. And, you know, it was the greatest time in Stars history, and he was very fondly thought of.
Accused of having a 12-pounder, I believe.
I think that was the fellas that I worked with, but yes. But yeah, like, you know, he buys around 2005, 2006, things start to go really south, and I think that's about the same time that he bought Liverpool.
Yeah, well, it started going south before that because the whole 180 on A-Rod was a sign that that we weren't doing so well financially and we need to get out of this. Like, A-Rod was its own, like, big money gamble that if I get this guy here, the Rangers will turn into this extremely profitable venture. And will become the Yankees. And it, in its own way, it's its own leveraged play where we're going to put up this ton of money, but you won't believe the windfall. Well, the windfall didn't happen. A-Rod was great, but it really didn't change the Rangers at all. And so
they're in last place every year.
Within 18 months, he's trying to turn that around, and then he sees the wisdom in small markets who are doing really well, like the Marlins did in 03, I think it was. And he started patterning the payroll. Boy, that's a tough word for me. And try to downsize and but still win. And of course that didn't go well. And then the Liverpool play, which went horribly wrong.
What happened there? I mean
it turned,
did he bought it and not spend any money?
Yeah, I mean that's the deal. Is it, again over there, they don't just accept when you strip their franchise down to parts, like Ranger fans kind of did.
How bad were they?
They weren't good, but more importantly, they weren't showing any interest in winning. Like, they were just existing.
You just own the team, basically.
And that doesn't work with those English giants, and the people take to the streets to where he couldn't even show his face in the city.
It's like what we saw after the Luka trade, but times 10. Like
So he was Nico?
Yeah, for Liverpool fans.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. So I'm seeing this happen with like three teams I follow all at the same time, all with the same guy. Which led, of course, to the D Magazine story of, quote, is Tom Hicks broke?
Yeah.
Which led to segments, which led to Tom Hicks calling for my head personally with my boss at D Magazine. Evan Grant.
Oh, because you were writing for D Magazine?
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the time...
So you wrote that cover story?
No, I did not write the cover story, but the segments and then stuff I wrote on the... I forgot what we called the sports blog of D Magazine at the time, but it was like the first place that hired me. And I was writing about Tom Hicks, and I believe he fired off something to Evan Grant, who head up the project at the time, which was basically, if that Sturm guy thinks I'm broke, we should show him or tell him about the $60 million fence he just built this huge fence to keep the tollway noise from his mansion.
Right.
And it cost $60 million, a freaking wall or a fence. And so he basically recommended that I no longer write for D Magazine. And thankfully, Evan wasn't terribly moved by that claim, but that's what happened.
But that was his 12-pounder at work.
Well, it's weird because this is the guy is going to be remembered. I don't know how he's remembered because the spectacular failure at the end almost dwarfed what he did, the great things that he did with the Stars.
I just don't know how well known that is, though. How many people will, when you say who gives credit for the Stars as far as winning a cup, I don't know how far down the list before you mention Tom Hicks.
Well, Stars people will.
Well, not for casual fans, for sure.
So, right. So despite his feud with me, which didn't spend much time on, he probably couldn't identify me. But
yeah, did you ask him where did he borrow the money from to get that fence?
I did not. I just thought it was awesome that I was worthy of an email from him. But the hockey people to this day will tell you that Tom Hicks was the greatest.
Doesn't happen without him.
Yeah.
It flat out does not happen without him. So, yeah, and he defaulted on $525 million in loans for the Rangers and Stars in 2009.
Was forced to sell Liverpool.
Yeah, about the same time.
And I think at a significant loss, I think.
Oh, it had to have been. Yeah, for sure. And so
he didn't go to jail for that?
No, because it's legal. It's not like, I mean, you default on loans, you declare bankruptcy or whatever, and you just, yeah, you kind of go on with your life, and that's the world he lived in.
Okay.
But the NHL.
That's the rich privilege right there.
Yeah,
but
totally.
The NHL ran the Stars for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't have an owner, because they took the franchise from them. And I'm trying to remember if the baseball team did the same thing, but remember the big court case where Chuck Greenberg and everyone is.
Oh, yeah. And that was right around the 2010 World Series.
That's exactly right. So it all ended very poorly with each of the properties.
Let's see. When Hicks and his partner bought Liverpool in 07, this is from the New York Times article, fans protested vehemently, and in 2010, the partners were unable to refinance $445 million in debt owed to the Royal Bank of Scotland. He had $1 billion over a two-year period in loans that he completely defaulted on.
Yeah, like he bought the club without really writing a check. Like it was all
money. That to me, and like you said, rich people, they don't use, they do though. Not like that. No one did it, played games like this. Or at least that I've ever read about. This guy was on his own.
Or he had zero skin in the game.
Yes.
It was so gross because it's like the anti-Mark Cuban, where Cuban is mad if a ref calls a foul that's incorrect on his team. And with Tom Hicks, it was just like, I think he might care about these teams, but I don't really think he cares about these teams.
Honestly, I think he cared about one team, the Texas Longhorns.
Yes.
Seriously.
Oh, 100%.
I think that's it.
Love the Longhorns.
And I think his power down there, I think Tom Hicks is, he probably took it to his grave why he couldn't make the Longhorns better than they were through his lifetime of being a fan and of being a rich fan.
But right there with Red McCombs,
yes,
as mover and shaker, and that's obviously a very high-level room in Austin to be,
yes,
the biggest of those
he
boosters.
Was the guy.
Yeah.
He's in.
Yeah, he's in.
Lando?
Yep.
Yep.
Worthy.
Donnie?
Hmm.
Sketchy, isn't it?
Very. Yeah. So I'm out. I say no.
All right. Hold the ground. Hold the door.
What about you, Bob?
He's in.
Oh, yeah, he's in.
He's in.
Yeah.
Even though he tried to get you fired.
Well, no, that legitimizes it, even makes it even more impressive, though, right?
Right. And he failed.
Yeah, I'll put him in.
All right,
you guys are suckers for the money, too.
We're soft.
All of you.
We'll get a little bit of it.
I did enjoy that Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I hope you did. I hope you did very much.
Golly, boy.
All right, Donnie. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Enjoy that football weather in Chicago.
Yeah.
Don't you ask Trevor Daly if he would put him in.